Well, good morning. I'm not sure about this word this morning, and I was kidding with Father Chuck that if I have a good word, it's because I've stumbled along by the Holy Spirit, you know, and didn't get too far off track. And if it's a bad word, it's because I got ahead or went off track. So I'm not sure what this is going to be this morning. Yeah, I know you will. Well, Lord, you sure I can't leave now? Just make, cut my losses while I can. The word is attitude and gratitude, two words that are sometimes contradictory, you know. And so when the Lord first started speaking that to me, I said, well, Lord, like, you know, like, what do you want me to say? And I said, so, like, is the problem is that all these people at CTK got bad attitudes and stuff? Is that, and so you want me to kind of dig into that and help them with that? And so the Lord, being gracious and loving and kind, said, no, I think it probably has more to do with your attitude than anybody else's attitude. And that's always the case, isn't it? You know, so we can have either a good attitude or we can have a bad attitude. Now, most of the time when we have a bad attitude, we sometimes think it's a good attitude. Think about that for a minute. We have an attitude that is about ourselves. You know, we kind of get an attitude of, oh, I'm doing pretty good. You know, I got this thing figured out. I'm doing all right. And we kind of think of that as having a good attitude. You know, like the it was supposed to be about selling stuff, how to sell stuff, but it was really a kind of one of these things about just how to feel good about yourself and then how to be able to present goodness to, in selling your products and all that kind of stuff. And that works, you know. Like, so if you've ever had to be in sales, retail sales and stuff like that, you know that, like, if you don't have a positive attitude going in, if you don't present yourself in a positive way, your sales will not be very well. The only time you can really sell something is when somebody really, really, really wants to buy it, and there's nobody else around to sell it to them besides you, you know? And so that's kind of one of the things they teach you in sales, is about having a good attitude. But the problem with that is that that attitude all has to do about with you, and it doesn't really have anything to do about Christ. That's why, for me, I guess the Eucharist is so always powerful, because it starts out in the beginning and all the way to the very end, reminding me about Him and what He's done and what He does. You know, even in our confession, you'd think that a confession would be kind of all about you, right? I mean, you're confessing about you. But really, our confession is really a tiny bit about us. Most of it's really about Him. The very first colic we do, the colic for purity, I love that colic. It's like the greatest reminder in the world. When we say that right off the bat, all hearts are open. My heart is open before Him. And all my desires are known. The good ones and the bad ones are known. And I get to deal with that right in the beginning. I don't have to mess around all day, you know. I don't have to wait for someone to preach some kind of a homily that makes me feel guilty. Or tell me how to live my life. You know, this is just a random thought that's out there. Most of the people that's told me how to live my life have not done a very good job of living their lives. You know, matter of fact, that caused me a problem in a relationship one time, because I'm not going to say what persuasion or sexual they were. It's probably pretty easy to figure it out. But anyway, I was getting dressed down and told how to live my life, and I had to remind that person, well, you know, you're not doing so great either right now, you know. Like, do you really want to get into this? You know? And the thing I found out is that getting into that as always leads to the same thing, death. But it's because of an attitude that we do, that we begin to embrace, an attitude of, well, I deserve this. Right now, that's one of the things that I've been experiencing a lot in Tuscaloosa, a little more than here, is there is this attitude in the world right now of, I deserve it, you know? Yeah, yeah. Well, most of the people I see, they think they deserve it, whatever, I don't even know what they deserve, but they do, I guess. You see that with the way people drive, you know? Is that they deserve to get there ahead of you, so get out of their way. You know, they deserve that lane more than you deserve that lane, kind of thing. And it's just because of such a bad attitude. So I'm very thankful that in the Eucharist that we're reminded that we should be a people of gratitude and not a people of attitudes. You know, and I'm so grateful that in the very beginning, the first words that we say in this season is, "Blessed be God. Blessed be God." Then we're reminded in that collect of purity that it's all exposed to Him. And throughout the whole Eucharist, it's reminded. The scripture that's got all this banging around inside of my head is the one from Romans 5. Because I was, you know, when I first started kind of hearing this, I was going, well, so Lord, how do we have a good attitude? You know, how does that work? So give me the formula to be able to do all the, push the right buttons, check the right marks or whatever to have a good attitude. Because I know there's got to be like some kind of a formula, right? And all. And there is. It's a real simple one. It's just simply that we just need to remember this one thing. That God demonstrates His own love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That should make us have an attitude of gratitude, that one thing. What I have found is that the farther we get away from that, the more likely we are to have an attitude without gratitude. Because, see, we don't want to deal with it. You know, now, I'm going to confess to you, and you can lie to me if you want to, but I don't do good all the time. I sin. I'm a product of sin. And when I turn my eyes to the wrong thing or away from the right thing, maybe not even to a wrong thing, but just away from the right thing, then sin overtakes me. But I don't like to admit that, you know. None of us do. That's why the confessional has almost ceased to exist. It's because we don't want to go to confession. Now, let me confess to you, I don't like going to confession. Yeah. I like that part. It's that part before that I have problems with. Because I don't want to admit to anyone or myself how broken I truly am and how needy that I truly am. See, in our culture, being needy is a weakness, and being needy is frowned upon. Being needy is looked down upon. You know, we have to remember our culture is different than His culture. In God's culture, the needy are loved. The needy are run after. The needy and the most broken are the ones that He died for. We just read the gospel lesson of the one and the 99 and the coin, and how the angels rejoice over one that's needy, that's lost, more than they rejoice over the many that are not needy, that are saved, that are there, they're doing good. And so we try to avoid our sin, dealing with it. That's why I love that collect of purity. All desires are known. No secrets are hidden. It reminds me that, wow, I can hide nothing from my Lord. And when I embrace that and fully embrace that, then I have that gratitude. For that, yet when I was still a sinner, hopelessly lost, totally broken, despised by myself, He so loved me that He died for me. Now, we could go through a whole list. Now, I think somebody may have even wrote a book with all the reasons you should be grateful and all that kind of stuff. You know, I just need the one. He died for me because of His love for me. Amen. So my prayer for me and my prayer for you is that week as we leave this place, that we would leave with a whole different attitude than we perhaps walked in with. That it would not be an attitude of I'm doing okay, but that it would be, we'd leave with an attitude of just gratefulness for God's love for us. And that we would just enjoy that. Just enjoy His love. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, that helped my attitude. I don't know about yours. Because I'm grateful for y'all. And that's one thing I do want to say. This, of course, I've been here this week filling in and working with these guys and seeing all of you guys that I haven't seen for over a month now. And I'm so grateful. So grateful for each one of you. You know? And so seeing each one of you, and it's pretty special for me. It really does help my attitude, without a doubt. Because I don't know when I'll be back. That's the thing, is, you know, like I've been kidding with some friends and saying, you know, John Denver song. I think, you know, living on a jet plane. I don't know when I'll be back again. Well, I'm living in a Toyota, and I don't know when I'll be back again. But I've enjoyed my time with y'all for sure. So thank you for bearing with me, and you know, God's blessings, of course, on you for that. And just see different ones. Chris, I just totally did not expect to see you. So thank you. Thank you for all that each each one of you, I really want, you know, I've said this several times, but for those who were not here when I said this, I want you to hear this, and y'all that did hear this, you probably need to hear it again. And in some way, every one of you have changed my life. That's just the way the Christianity works, is that it's not like, you know, these big revelations and stuff. It's the little things, the little acts of kindness, the little acts of love that people do to one another. You know, it's that glass of water. It's all about the timing. It's not about the doing as much as it is walking in, Lord, so the timing is right, that those little things mean so much to some of us. Amen.